welcome back in. Monday Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood, been here with you all morning long. A lot of things. Thank Pat Patrick for being with us earlier. Of course, Coach Max Howell will join us. Benji Rowland. And now it's time to bring in the man from Las Vegas, Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. Mike, welcome in to the Monday morning Blitz. Excuse me, my mouth's not working very well. And first week, we'd have to say, of real college football is under our belt now.
It is. It's good to be back on the show, and it's great that college football's going on. And I know SEC fan thinks that the week started this past weekend, but, you know, here at the office, we've been having to handicap all the conferences, and including the Sun Belt that had their day with the Big 12 a couple of Saturdays ago.
No doubt about that. And, of course, we talked a little bit about that last week, but let's go into a little bit more detail, Mike, with the Sun Belt. Now, and your staff, you're handicapping these games, but on Thursday, because of COVID positive tests that turns out to be negative, Georgia State has to cancel a game with Charlotte. Mike, are we going to see a lot of this going forward? And if we are, how does that affect you guys once you set a line during the week? And then all of a sudden on Thursday, even if they don't cancel the game, certain players are declared out because of COVID test.
Well, it's the biggest challenge I've ever seen since I've been doing this for about over 25 years. Because, for instance, let's use LSU and Mississippi State, for example. That game opened LSU 21. It closed at 14. And that's a massive swing that you do not normally see. But when LSU has all those players they lost to the draft, other players opted out, and now you have to factor in, will the game be played? Of course, you don't lose your money if you wager on a game and it's canceled. But at the same time, you invest all that time in handicapping the game, and then it gets canceled. And that's happened, you know, a couple of dozen times already.
Okay, Mike, one game that Oklahoma – wishes would be canceled is Kansas State. Now, for the second year in a row, Kansas State has beaten Oklahoma, and you can't say that it's a fluke because they were down 21 points in the second half and came back. Of course, you and I both know that Chris Klieman is a heck of a coach, and he's going to win no matter where he is. And in my personal opinion, he's not long for Kansas State. There are going to be some programs come after this guy that have major bucks that Kansas State just can't deal with. But you come in and you knock off a top five Oklahoma team 2 years in a row. Man, that was impressive to me.
It really was. And Kansas State was a four-touchdown underdog. You don't see four-touchdown underdogs win games outright very often, but – you know, look, I just think the Big 12 is in for a long year. A lot of things can happen between now and then if there is a college football playoff. I don't think the Big 12 should even be in the conversation.
Okay, now, Mike, I'm going to have to jump on that statement right there. You said if there is even a college football playoff. So are you getting rumblings that there may not be one?
No, it's just I assess the situation. I'm seeing games get canceled all the time, and the Pac-12 says they're not playing. Now they are. Same with the MAC and the Mountain West, Big Ten. So everything is all very fluid. And when I look at the schedule, okay, so the Pac-12 is going to play a seven-game schedule starting in November. The Big Ten starts a month from today or from this week. So how is it all going to work out? And I think you're going to see a lot of games. I believe there's going to be a lot of games get canceled due to COVID, and it's going to be years in the years past. You and I've had many heated or
spirited
conversations about the playoff. Well, now the eye test is going to be even more if they do have the playoff, because you might have some teams that play six games and others play 10.
Let's say the SEC goes through their 10-game season, and let's say there's the Big Ten, for reasons unknown, COVID cancellation, what have you, they only play, say, six games. there's going to be a huge outcry from the SEC if you don't have two or three SEC teams, if not four, in the playoff. I think you got to count Clemson in there because, I mean, Clemson looks like they'll run the table with what they've got to work with. But you're going to have a huge outcry from SEC land if there are not multiple teams in the college football playoffs. And then if you put three SEC teams in the college football playoffs, then you're going to have a huge outcry from the rest of the college football landscape that's going to be even louder than ever before.
Yeah, and look, I would argue for the SEC if they're going to play 10 conference games and you might have a two-loss team that you're measuring up against a 7-1 or 7-0 team from another conference, and it's you can't compare apples to apples. But we do know this, that the college football playoff, Clemson is a staple. And then an SEC team, I mean, the SEC has dominated the postseason as far as BCS and college football playoff since 2014. So there's an argument there. I just don't see how you can really gauge the Pac-12 with a seven-game season. The Big Ten, I think you can, but at the same time, they haven't played football in September and October, and that's a competitive advantage.
No doubt about it. There, no doubt about it. And, of course, we all know that there, at this time and place, there are more quality football teams in the Southeastern Conference than any other conference. You could take, I think if you take Ohio State and Penn State, you take those two schools from the Big Ten, I think they're, and forgive me, Michigan fans, but those two schools right now, they're head and shoulders above everyone else in the Big Ten. And but, you know, you and I still have a lot of respect for some of the, I want to say B-level Big Ten schools. But, you know, even the Big Ten doesn't compare with the SEC right now. Let's just be frank.
Yeah, and I do believe that the Big Ten East is the second-best division in college football, right behind the SEC West. And the SEC East is good. You've got Florida and Georgia, and maybe the SEC East rises up a level or two this year. Georgia did not look good in the first half against a really poor Arkansas team. But, I have nothing against the Big Ten. I love Ohio State, especially against the number. I mean, they destroy teams, and they can play with the Clemsons and the LSUs. But Michigan has shown they can't. Michigan State has shown they can't. Penn State, we don't really know. We don't have enough to gauge. But the Big Ten East is very strong. The Pac-12, it's not close. And this year, I think the Big 12 is time. When the Big 12 gets to the playoff, they get destroyed. And I don't want to see them there.
Okay, Mike, you mentioned the Georgia team that struggled in Fayetteville versus Arkansas. Listen. You have a walk-on right now that replaced Georgia's starter, DeJuan Mathis. Stetson Bennett gave them a spark, got them that 37-10 victory in Fayetteville, and the 37-10 sounds a lot more impressive than it actually was. And I don't know if there are offensive problems right now at Georgia or not with the offensive coordinator. They never can seem to really utilize all of the talent that they have. Jamie Newman, who played lights out at Wake Forest under a very undermanned offensive line the last few years, graduate transfer, says, hey, I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to be able to put up some numbers. It's really going to help my stock in the NFL draft. Well, he goes through spring ball. And then pretty much just decides during preseason practice, hey, I'm going to opt out of this. I'm going to get ready for the draft on my own. I have people who tell me that Jamie Newman thought that his year playing quarterback at Georgia would actually hurt him in the NFL draft. Now, I can't confirm that myself, but that's what sources are telling me. And if that's the case, and Georgia has those type problems, as far as continuity and cohesiveness in the offensive coaching staff, then they're in for a long year because A lot of people don't realize just how valuable Jake Fromm was and how much that kid carried that offense on his shoulders all 3 years he played.
He did, but he had great weapons. I just find it surprising that Newman would say that, and unless all those other hypotheticals that you mentioned are true, because, I mean, you're going to play in the SEC, you're going to be on CBS and ESPN, and he has great talent around him, but it didn't look like – they didn't look very talented in Fayetteville.
No, and this week Auburn comes to town. Again, the COVID year, I think 2020 will always be known as the COVID year, and especially in football. We've got Georgia and Auburn playing the second game of the season, not in late November. This is crazy. I understand why they did it, but this is a huge test for both of these teams. And personally, I think more is on the line for Georgia than Auburn this week.
Yeah, Georgia has a lot to prove. Auburn looked very good against basically underrated Kentucky team. And Georgia's a touchdown favorite, anywhere from 6.5 to 7. Of course, it's early in the week. That line can move, and especially in 2020, these lines are moving all over the place. But it should be a very competitive game. And I think if this would have been the first game, that line tells me Georgia would have been a 10-point favorite, and I don't buy that.
Okay, Mike, speaking of favorites, we've talked off the air earlier about lines moving. And you may have to correct my numbers here, but you were telling me LSU started off as a 21.5-point favorite, and by kickoff was down to a 14-point favorite or somewhere in there. Now, was that due to the LSU losing a bunch of players to the COVID? Because we already knew coming into the season that they were going to be depleted from all the guys that went to the NFL. But just in the last couple of weeks, it seems like more than all the SEC teams, LSU has been hit hardest by the COVID-19 pandemic. So was it that? Was it the fact that people thought, man, 21 points, that's way too much for a Mike Leach team right now? Or maybe a combination of both?
Yeah, I would say a combination. Not only did LSU lose half a dozen players to the NFL, they also had a lot of players that were set to play this year that were eligible, and they decided to opt out. Then you had a couple of injuries. And then plus you have the national championship hangover, but normally the team that wins the title doesn't lose their first game out. I believe the last time it happened was in 98 when Michigan lost to Notre Dame. So it doesn't happen often, but like you said, the scheduling's all different. You have Georgia Auburn playing week two, excuse me. And you have LSU and Mississippi State playing week one. And I just think LSU lost too many players. And you know, the old cliche is, hey, the elite teams just reload. I don't think this year a lot of the teams are going to be able to.
I agree with that, because the opt-out for me is the biggest factor, because you can opt out and you can go to the draft if you want, if you're eligible to, or you can opt out and you can come back next year and it's not going to count against your eligibility. It's not going to count against the scholarship number. You know, we're going to have some interesting rosters over the next 3 or 4 years because of this year with players opting out. And it wouldn't surprise me if some enterprising first-year head coach has got a lot of maybe some redshirt freshmen that say, hey, guys, listen, we're going to opt out. All you guys need to opt out, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have you guys next year. It's almost like a second redshirt year. I mean, the adjustments that the NCAA has made for COVID, I understand why they're having to do it, but, man, they are talking about a clerical nightmare for the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, how about this? You still have the four-game rule. So you could have a player play four games and then opt out.
And that could be with Ohio State. If they're playing the seven-game schedule, you can play over half the games and still get a redshirt year.
Yeah, so it's – and again, it's not to be disrespectful to, you know, those that have been hurt by COVID, both financially, health-wise. But our job is to talk about the sport and how it's impacted. And it's been a crazy year, well, basically since March, when we lost March Madness, which is – that's huge. But as far as football, I'm just thankful that we're seeing football at any level, much less that we have the big schools finally deciding, hey, we're going to come back and give it a go. And it's going to be interesting. I think you're going to see – I believe we're going to see Big Ten, even some SEC schools have to cancel games. And, folks, look, for the fans out there, you just have to understand when it comes time, if they do have a playoff or bowl games – the eye test is going to have to be the main component because you're not going to have these teams playing on equal playing fields.
Hey, Mike, have you got about 5 or 10 more minutes for us?
I do.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with Mike Bernard from Inside the Numbers. OTM Sports, based out of Las Vegas, always with us. Great info. We'll be right back on GameDaySportsRadio.com.